Welcome to the Chainlink Q4 2023 product Q&A with Chainlink Labs Chief Product Officer Kamal El-Mujadid. And we also have Akirsh Srivastava, Head of Developer Relations, joining us here today as well. He'll speak a little bit later. So right now, I'm just going to explain how the call will work. I'm going to post questions to Kamal and Akirsh based on the questions that were submitted through the Google form. Special thanks to those of you that submitted questions. And I will mention the handle of the person who asked if it was provided. One quick thing to call out, Kamal and Akirsh will only be answering product questions directly related to Chainlink services. So to get us started, Kamal, why don't you give everyone here a brief introduction of who you are and what you are most excited about as we roll into Q1.
Hey, Rory. Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. Hi, my name is Kamal. I'm the Chief Product Officer at Chainlink Labs. And in terms of what I'm most excited about for this new year, well, you know, reflecting on 2023 and then ahead 2024, I'll just start by saying that I'm really proud of what we delivered. Like at the start of 2023, if you go back, we outlined our top three priorities. We said we will launch CCIP, we will launch data streams, and we will launch functions. And we were able to deliver on three of them on mainnet, early access or beta, all last year. And that's a big deal. We launched CCIP to finally establish the secure cross-chain standard within the industry to address all the real paths of large hacks and exploits and to unlock the massive growing demand by institutions to interact with tokenized RWAs across various public and private chains. We launched data streams to power the next stage of DeFi's growth of highly performance financial markets and services that still retain the decentralization, transparency, and credible neutrality that makes DeFi unique. And then we launched functions to empower developers to explore any use case they can think of by enabling them to fetch data from any API or tap into their own Web2 infrastructure. So three successful launches on three goals. But we didn't stop there. We've made very significant progress in executing against our platform vision. Like the Chainlink platform, we really continue to be a powerful and sustaining competitive advantage for us. Developers are discovering that using one of Chainlink services makes it super easy for them to use the other services as well without any additional trust assumption. And we've made significant progress in scaling our global developer community. This is how we ensure that the next 1 million developer comes on-chain. They will be building with Chainlink. And lastly, I'm excited by the news yesterday. The Bitcoin ETF is kicking off the realization that the future of global finance will be on-chain. So exciting start of the year.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kamal. And yeah, I think if you had to be under a rock and not have internet access to miss that Bitcoin ETF. So super excited to kind of see that moving forward. Now we'll start with our community questions here. So the first one was actually from an anonymous submitter. So Kamal, how do you think about the CCIP roadmap in terms of priorities and trade-offs? For example, building private blockchain integrations versus integrations with public infrastructure or driving institutional demand versus retail users?
Great question. So as I mentioned, launching CCIP was one of our top three goals for 2023, which we were able to accomplish. And then we've seen the incredible demand for the standard. And remember, CCIP is not just a product, it is a standard. The more people use it, the more valuable it becomes. So it's no surprise that CCIP is the top objective for Chainlink this new year. And firstly, we want to prioritize security above anything else. The standard has to be super secure, reliable. That's what we're hearing over and over again from our users. This is the first reason they would be choosing CCIP. So we'll always focus on security and reliability first. And when prioritizing features, chain expansions, or private versus public chains, we always focus on the long-term strategic goal of CCIP. And we think, okay, does doing X, Y, or Z put us on the path to serving the most important users and being live on the most used chains? So we're going to be focused on driving adoption, adding lanes, ramping up users. And a big part of this is getting to GA. Now, I know there's a lot of expectations from our users, from the community. I get it. And I think this is the kind of expectation that is really a privilege. and a sign that we're working on something of great magnitude and really industry-defining. We also know me, Rory. I'm not going to give a spoiler here. I'm all about execution. So what I can say is that we're working around the clock towards this objective, that things are looking good, and that GA is coming soon. And taking a step back, we have an incredible opportunity ahead of us with CCIP. And these are not straightforward decisions. So we're continually balancing what's most important, where we think the market is going, and how to allocate resources effectively. But the possibilities are really limitless, and the whole industry needs the standard. So one, I just talked about how the possibilities for CCIP are really limitless. And one of the application that I'm personally the most excited about is real-world assets. I think RWAs are going to be the killer app for blockchain. Tokenization assets, tokenizing assets really represent a major unlock of value for financial institutions and regular users alike. Think about it, tokenizing an asset gives it superpowers that do not exist on traditional financial rails. Tokenizing an asset enables lightning fast settlement times, peer-to-peer transfer of ownership, and opening up global liquidity to previously illiquid assets and composability with financial primitives such as lending, borrowing, fractionalizing, etc. So essentially, those are all reasons why a tokenized asset is vastly, vastly superior to an asset that sits in a traditional database. And every developer can program these RWAs. So this is something that everyone, even those who are not in this space, understands very well. It's just a much more effective way to transact. And not only is this this opportunity massive, but Chainlink services are uniquely positioned to be the driving force of realizing this opportunity. Well, first, you need CCIP, obviously, because why would you represent an asset on chain to see this asset trapped on that chain when it could be moving freely? But then, and that's a very important thing to understand, for RWAs to truly take off, you need both the data and the cross-chain capabilities. And Chainlink is the platform that offers both capabilities. First, you can enrich this asset with dynamic off-chain data, with proof of reserve, with data feeds, streams, and functions. Then you can establish this asset to be natively cross-chain once it's being issued, thus improving liquidity. And then by combining CCIP and all those other products that are data related, you can maintain a golden record by keeping these assets updated as they move from chain one chain to the other. And the incredible thing here is that we can provide one interface, one standard to developers to do all of this. So this is another use case where having a whole platform with an ecosystem makes so much sense. Like if you were going to tokenize an asset, do you want to mix and match different solutions together with different ecosystem? Or do you want to deal with one platform, one standard, which all, by the way, the top players are already using? And Chainlink's unmatched track record of security and reliability makes it the obvious choice when asset tokenizers and digital asset buyers are looking for a solution. So I'm pretty bullish on RWAs.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much, Kamal. I apologize. I had some audio issues, but I'm back now. We'll move on to the next question. It's from Dr. Reefer. So I appreciate you submitting this. If every bank is going to have a chain, shouldn't Chainlink have one?
Thank you, Dr. Reefer. Yeah, great question. Look, I think in terms of Chainlink launching a chain or a smart contract platform, there are a few things to consider here. The first is that we do not compete with chains. We want to help developers, our users, to win by providing critical chain agnostic infrastructure and tools that allows them to build their product. And we think the benefit of focusing on this connectivity problem is very high. There will be thousands of chains, public, private, and the world needs a standard for connecting them all together and connect them with Web2 infrastructure. And we're building something that powers the entire industry. And finally, what we're building, it's really, we're not creating one network or one chain. We don't believe that's going to securely scale. We are creating thousands of decentralized Oracle networks to serve users across all blockchains. But at the end of the day, it's really a question of focus. We want to solve the connectivity problem, and we think there's a lot of value to do that.
All right. Thank you again, Dr. Reifer, for asking that question. We'll move on to the next one from Anonymous. We hear a lot about Ethereum and EVM scaling. There are many innovations around L2s, supernets, subnets, app change, data availability layers, restaking, etc. What is Chainlink scalability vision, and how does it coincide with what we are seeing in the blockchain space?
Yeah, so our goal is to be everywhere that matters to developers, and to also deliver the most secure and reliable products. And we recognize that the world will not be just multi-chain. Likely with hundreds of thousands of chains, supernets, app chain, etc. And so we're designing our products to be flexible and scalable in that kind of world. And the more chain that exists, the more opportunity there is for CCAP. We work with banks who want to use private blockchains, and they need to connect then to another bank who picked a different private blockchain. But then they realize, oh, they also want their assets to be accessible from anywhere if there's liquidity. So then they want to connect their private chain to public chains as well. And I'm particularly excited about our innovations here around OCR3, as this is a foundational upgrade that will flow across all our services. And with OCR3, we're introducing modular designs for our DAON architecture that create a one-to-many relationship between DAONs and the blockchain we support. And the result of that is that for every new chain we support, we don't need to rebuild an end-to-end DAON infrastructure. Instead, we just extend the integration from the transmission DAON. And this allows, new chains to easily access Chainlink services just by integrating with a transmission DAON. And data providers, they can have access to all the blockchains that Chainlink support via a single integration as well. So it's just a much faster, much easier way to plug in, and it accelerates our flywheel. And crucially, we've done this in a way that increases scalability while preserving our decentralization and security standards. And what's really cool to me is that this is an innovation we pioneered with data streams. And now we're using this in production today, and we'll be extending this architecture through the entirety of our stack. And generally, we will continue innovating around the problem space to make it easier to connect with new chains, again, while preserving our security and reliability goals. So one thing that follows from that question is the idea of creating a platform, right? We mentioned how this OCR3 innovation flows into all our services. But ultimately, one of the benefits of creating this platform is getting to something that we call composability. Now, what do we mean by composability? Well, when you're thinking of building a platform, really what you want to do is give developers superpowers. So what we want them to do is they come to Chainlink, and they have all these incredible tools that are powerful and easy to use. And these tools really have to work well together. So as a developer, if you don't want to be wasting your time figuring out how to plug tool A to tool B, and you don't want to know, oh, why this first tool uses OCR3, but now I want OCR3 in my other tool, right? And that really is composability. The services become more composable, and the lines between services blur. And developers are able to increasingly combine services to trigger each other and be able to tackle increasingly complex design challenges. So let me give an example here. Data streams, which we just talked about, is powered by OCR3, is a combination of our low latency Oracle offering and Chainlink automation, seamlessly pairing low latency data availability with near instant on-chain execution without introducing any additional trust assumption. So without composability, developers would have to understand how to use the low latency oracles on the one hand and how to use automation on the other hand. But since those services are composable, they don't need to learn that. They could use the bundle and it works for them. And individually, each Chainlink service is powerful, but together, this is really where the magic happens. Another area would be unified billing. That's another area where we're pioneering in Web3 that is simultaneously a major unlock for our users, as well as a massive competitive advantage. Now, you can think of how large tech platforms win the market, you know, like AWS or Google or Microsoft. So you take Microsoft, for example. Once you have Microsoft Office and you're paying for it and you're being billed for it, it's trivial for a business to say, well, now I want to use Power BI or Microsoft Teams to their stack. And as users consume more and more of your products under a unified account billing system, then it makes your entire platform stickier. And generally, every time you make it easier for developers, it's a win. You reduce payment friction for developers, and now you've simplified the process of integrating and paying for various Chainlink services, supporting the economic sustainability and crypto economic security of the Chainlink ecosystem as a whole. And these are some ideas of next steps for the platform, but there's also a longer-term idea to composability. The idea that you can give developers a single interface to build all their trust-minimized applications. Just imagine one single composer that you can express any sort of ideas, any trust-minimized application. And that's something pretty cool that we're working on as well.
All right. Next question here is from Anonymous. So what are some misconceptions about Chainlink and the wider blockchain industry that you want to dispel?
Oh, there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them, but I can think of a couple that sort of always come back. And within the industry, within Web3, it's the idea that Chainlink is a data oracle. And I could totally understand that. This is what Chainlink is historically known for, but decentralized oracle networks can be used to solve any connectivity problem and create a full platform for any connectivity need. And so this is a misconception that has really started to dissipate, especially last year with the launch of functions and CCIP and streams, automation 2.0. I think people who are following the space, they definitely see this, they notice this. And now it's becoming more and more common knowledge. But I think ultimately the best way to dispel this misconception is just to execute against our platform vision, and which is what we're doing. So that's for within the space. I think outside Web3, I sometimes get questions like, so is crypto dead or is it coming back? And I usually answer, well, blockchain never really stopped, you know. And then I would get some blank stares and I would have to explain, okay, blockchain is the new infrastructure. Crypto is the first application. It's just like for the internet or the iPhone. So blockchain is a radical new change here, and it is happening and accelerating. JP Morgan now processes more than $1 billion per day of transaction on their own chain. And then I go and explain the RWA use case, and then I could see people understand, oh, okay, well, that's not speculation. That's a quote-unquote real use case. And there's just so many more out there of them. So I think regardless of what people think of cryptocurrencies, which I personally see a lot of value into storing value or aligning incentives, when they understand blockchain is the underlying tech and how incredibly valuable this technology is, and you have to help them see the difference, then they really understand, okay, well, yeah, this space is really, this thing is really there to happen. And it's just going to become more obvious as more of these use cases become mainstream.
Great. Well, yeah, thank you for that last answer, Kamal. I really appreciate it. And now, you know, for a few minutes, I definitely want to kind of transition to Akirsh here. You know, Akirsh is our new head of developer relations. And some of these questions really kind of pertain to the work that he did. So I want to kind of welcome Akirsh on and ask him a question. Akirsh, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. Thank you, Rory. Perfect. Well, we'll get kind of question number one. And because I'm kind of the host, I get to ask the first question. So, Akirsh, you've worked for some of the largest companies in Web2. Why did you move over to Chainlink in Web3 now? And kind of add on to that, how is Chainlink positioned to win here and now?
Yeah. Very, very good questions. I just want to say how excited and honored I am to be here with all of you today. It's just a quick introduction on that question. So I was leading the open source business at Meta, and you know, I have built and scaled some of the biggest developer communities in the world. So you know, technologies like React, GraphQL, PyTorch, and before that at Amazon, right? So Alexa's developer platform built that and the community around it too. You know, moving from big companies like Meta and Amazon to Chainlink was really a big step for me. And, you know, in the spirit of full disclosure, I did it for two reasons. The first one being that Web3 and blockchain are the future, and I sincerely believe that. And Chainlink is at the heart of it. And two, most importantly, and this came later in my discussions with the team, the rest of the leaders here, including Kamal, is the people. So if you look across our industry, what we've done here is built a team that's the best in the world. And I can say that confidently from my experience. And second to none, what you get when you have good people that are working on quality products, you know that we're building an engineering and product culture that's second to none in the space. And that is going to be a unique competitive advantage that is going to be impossible to replicate and continue to pay dividends as we go on. So, yeah, I also reflect a lot on my experience growing communities like React and PyTorch. And when I was there working with those teams, we always had this overwhelming sense that we were working on influencing the future. And I have that same feeling now. And it's really exciting to see the parallels between the opportunities here that we have at Chainlink. And, you know, Rory, so to the second part of that question, which is, you know, how is Chainlink positioned to win here? Let's take a step back and think about the platform vision that Kamal was talking about. And we look at where blockchain is on its trajectory. We are in the hype cycle and coming out of the other end from that valley of disillusionment. So this is a huge, huge step. The people that are left, the people that are here today, are working on true fundamental value. These are the people, these are the businesses, these are the projects, and these are the ideas that have made it through the other side. If you can outlast a negative cycle, continue to be able to build like this, well, then you know that we are the group of people that are poised to build the future. So that's what we're doing here. You know, part of the platform vision in a very general way is we're creating a platform that's going to help others succeed. So institutions, builders, businesses, they can all scale with the platform that we're creating. And that is the recipe for success, any way that you look at it, right? When you can build a platform that allows others to succeed, that puts you right at the center of the universe. And that's where we are. And then, you know, if we divide that, there's sort of like three fundamental pillars to what I think creates a wonderful platform. It's great community. It has to be easy for developers. And we have to be able to plan for the future and look ahead. So the great community, I've said this before, we have an amazing group of people working together. If you look at, and this is powered not just by the employees that we have here at Chainlink Labs, the brave men and women that are working on building this future in our products, but also our community, right? So if you look at the events like the Constellation Hackathon, they show just how creative everyone really is. So this is the kind of the teamwork, the close and loose-knit connections that's really important for making new tech work and take off. The second point was that it has to be easy for developers. So if you make things easy for people who build tech, you know, water flows downhill, it follows the path of gravity. Well, that's when you know that you're going to bring more of them to Chainlink. And this is a big part of the reason why I think we will keep growing and do it well. Everything we talk about here is how do we create reliability, simplicity, and in that is a real sense of, I think, sophistication and value that our customers tell us every day that they see. And then smart planning for the future, right? This is a big one. We actually know where the tech world is heading. And the different kinds of, and for those of you who don't believe me, because a lot of people make this claim, you can take a look at our hackathon, look at the results from that, right? The different kinds of projects that we see in our hackathon and how we look at the market, it really shows that Chainlink is ready to take on a future challenges and lead the way in blockchain tech. That's how I think Chainlink is positioned to win.
All right, Akersh. Yeah, thank you so much for answering my question. Next, we'll get one from the community. This one was from Otto Truffle. What is the plan for gaining Chainlink's adoption outside of its existing community and institutions?
Yeah, so I think I want to take a step back here and really think about what we do here as a company and where I like to spend my time. So I spend a lot of time reflecting on what it takes to get to 1 million developers. And I talk to everyone here, and we're thinking about this, right? So if the opportunity, if we frame it in the perspective of trying to get to the next 1 million developers, and it helps to really outline that as a vision. So from a vision, right, from an ambition of what we have is we want Web3 or blockchain development to become synonymous with Chainlink. This is the same way that when you think of cloud engineering or cloud development, it's synonymous with AWS. And the way that we're going to do that is by getting extremely close to our customers and understanding what it takes from them. So if we look today where our customers are, we can see that there is a huge community of developers. Web2 developers outnumber Web3 developers by about 1,000x, right? There are over 20 million JavaScript developers in the world. Well, we need to start bringing them over. What can we do to bring them over? And when we bring the first cohort over, they're going to tell us more of what we need to do to bring the next one. So we've already started to make some great inroads here, right? So products such as Functions, they are built to bring in that next wave of developers and help enable the next wave of killer apps and innovation that's really going to get drive global growth. And then, we've started to build and formulate a multilateral strategy here with three high-level strategic priorities, right? So global reach, empowering developers through education and best-in-class resources, and expansion, right? So when we talk about global reach, I mentioned the Constellation Hackathon earlier, right? That's 17,000 developers participated in that hackathon globally. It's enormous. We've gone to over 60 meetups globally to showcase our platform scalability. And we really do have one of the largest and most engaged developer ecosystems in all of Web3. So these are sustained competitive advantages, right? And they do provide an enormous amount of momentum that drives our platform forward. So we're going to continue down the path of these hackathons, these events, these meetups, and we're going to do it in a way that really reaches out to a totally new category of developers, and that's going to add fuel to our own product development culture. I mentioned best-in-class developer resources. So again, the developer experience is the absolute paramount thing for us. We want not only to offer the best products and services that are the easiest to use, right, that make the most sense, that can allow people to realize the potential of whatever app they're thinking of without limit. But we also want to create the educational platform for developers, right? It's an essential part of long-term community building. We want to make sure that developers know how to leverage our tools in the way to realize their vision. So that's why we're investing really heavily in delivering the highest quality and impactful developer education in Web3. So our masterclasses, if you had a chance to tune into that, we actually had Cassidy Williams. She's a well-known developer in the JavaScript world. If you could look for her on Twitter or X. I recommend you catching that session on YouTube as well. And then the build program, right? We've added 16 new projects to that. So, they've been pivotal in enhancing skills and really fostering creativity. So, you know, and then we had like these quick start pages and multi-language support on our Chainlink docs. So that's some of the ways that we've been really building this next level high quality platform. And then I think, you know, looking ahead, you know, we're going to continue to expand in these directions. We're going to bring in the Web2 developers. I think there's a lot of regional interest. We're seeing an enormous amount of demand for both our product, services, and content in regions like Asia and Latin America. So we want to make sure that our platform is welcoming for those geographies and equipped to support the needs of the technical innovation that's going to emerge there.
All right. Awesome. Well, again, Akirsh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for stopping by. Akirsh has been awesome to work with so far, and I think you're going to see his fingerprints kind of all over what we're doing on the developer relations side moving forward. So now I'll go ahead and throw it back to Kamal as we kind of close things up. Any kind of last words before we kind of step away for today, Kamal, for the community?
Yeah, well, I'm super thrilled to have you, Akirsh, join the team. I think I'm really looking forward to seeing your magic at work here and getting us to a million developer. Yeah, look, 2023 has been an incredible year for Chainlink Platform, and we're very, very thankful to our partners and to our community for their amazing support. And 2024 is going to be a big year. We'll continue to accelerate. Accelerating, and I personally look forward to continue meeting many of you at all our global events. And taking a step back, the space is really, we can see that the space is really starting to mature, to accelerate. And I believe mass adoption of blockchain technology is inevitable once every developer can very, very easily, seamlessly integrate these technologies into their existing stack. And we're going to continue to keep working hard to accelerate this trend in 2024 with all of your support. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Kamal. Thank you again, Akirsh. And thank all of you for joining us here today on this Twitter Spaces, kind of our first one with this product update. So again, love your feedback on this. Figuring out if you want to do this here or Discord and making an easy way for you to access this. So again, thank you so much, community, for your support. It was an awesome year last year. We launched a lot of great products. And I know that this year we're kind of focused on sort of making sure that those products are adopted at a very high level. So excited to keep doing these moving forward. Thank you again. And we'll see you in a couple months, maybe here on Twitter Spaces. Appreciate it and take care. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening. Chainlink is the industry standard decentralized computing platform powering the verifiable web. Chainlink has enabled over $9 trillion in transaction value by providing financial institutions, startups, and developers worldwide with access to real-world data, off-chain computation, and secure cross-chain interoperability across any blockchain. Chainlink powers verifiable applications in high-integrity markets for banking, DeFi, global trade, gaming, and other major sectors. You can learn more about Chainlink by visiting chain.link.